Hi, thanks for joining Grief and Frozen Lasagnas every first and third Thursdays. I'm your host, Veronica Day. This podcast is devoted to talking openly about grief and how to help someone who's grieving. We're not licensed professionals nor grief experts. We're just real people with real stories regarding grief, all types of grief. Sometimes it will be sad, sometimes it might make you laugh, but whatever the case, we strive to be honest and real. Holidays, decorations, Christmas trees, menorahs, carols, twinkle lights, commercials on TV, shopping, family traditions. It seems like it's everywhere starting in October. It's supposed to be this warm, loving, happy time with your friends and loved ones. But when you've lost someone, it can just be a constant reminder that they're gone. You certainly don't want to begrudge anyone of their happiness, but sometimes you might just feel like the Grinch. My first Thanksgiving and Christmas after my husband died was pretty weird. I wasn't sure how I was supposed to act. I was sad, but wanted to put on a brave face. I was worried that everyone would either feel sorry for me or that I would be too depressing to be around. Yeah, as I'm saying this, it kind of sounds like I was being really self-involved. So I didn't know what the holidays were going to be like with his family without him around. Would they even want to celebrate? I didn't know. It was also strange because I had just started dating a new person that November, and that created some conflicting feelings for me, but I'll get to that in a minute. My late husband and I had holiday traditions that I was missing, like picking out our Douglas fir Christmas tree, decorating the tree in the house while watching Christmas movies like It's a Wonderful Life and Die Hard. Yeah, I said it. Die Hard is a Christmas movie. That first year, I wasn't even sure I wanted a tree, let alone to decorate the house or put up Christmas lights. Now, I typically send out holiday cards and I bake, so I thought, well, at least I can do that much. It was going well until I decided to open up a bottle of wine and watch some sappy movies on TV. Let's just say there were lots of tears and some extremely burnt cookies. Luckily, I have some pretty amazing friends. They made sure I felt included in things and checked on me. They also did it without making it feel like pity. When your partner dies, you might feel like a third wheel around your friends for a while. I know I did. I often turned down parties because I didn't want to feel like that. I will say that a few people did stop inviting me to things, and I have stopped trying to figure out why. It's not my problem. But the friends that kept inviting me weren't doing it out of pity, but genuinely wanted me there. It took a bit for me to realize this and feel okay to go. When the holiday cards started showing up in the mail, it was a mixed bag of emotions. Some were corporate cards and they were addressed to both of us. That was a huge punch in the gut. I think I was lucky that my first Christmas without Travis was in a new house. We had moved in January and he died that May. So we didn't really have a lot of us memories in the new house yet. I think it would have been so much harder if I was still in our previous home. We'd lived there for about 10 years together. We used to hang up stockings for each other and for our pets. And after our pets would pass away, we continued to hang up stockings in remembrance, just on a different wall. I actually still do this, and Travis's stocking is now part of that memorial wall. My husband Patrick totally gets it and supports my decision. It's important to surround yourself with friends and family that get you and support you, especially during the holidays. I think some folks try to help by doing what would make them feel better. I remember reading in one of the many, many grief books I was given that it's important to follow the platinum rule. Treat others as they want to be treated, not how you want to be treated. Very wise indeed. Over the years, I've realized that it's okay to keep some of my previous traditions while creating new ones. I think at first I thought it would be, I don't know, disrespectful or weird to keep some of them, but then I remembered that these made me happy, and they were just as much part of me as they were him. So I tweak some of them so they're unique to me and my new husband. For example, Travis and I used to get each other a unique Christmas ornament that represented something from that year. Well, Patrick and I also do this, but we added a twist. We also get one that reminds us of each other. But the twist is that we go to Target and we only have 10 minutes to find it, check out, wrap it, and meet back at the car. It's kind of a race and it's always fun. I want to mention something about grief, holidays, and dating. Gosh, okay, where to begin? I mean, holidays and grief are rough. Then you throw in dating or trying to date. Holy crap. I mentioned that I had just started seeing someone right before the holidays. This was about 6 months after my husband died. This caused all kinds of emotions from excitement to guilt. I was surprised that I could feel attracted to someone else. I remember worrying that others might see it as too soon, or as a rebound relationship, or that I didn't want to be alone during the holidays. It was important to me to figure out my feelings first. Once I knew it was genuine, and I truly cared about this person, it didn't bother me as much what others thought. I mean, yes, it's important to be safe and not let someone take advantage of you. I know that we love our friends and want to protect them during grief, but we also need to be supportive if they find love, joy, and happiness. My late husband's mom was key in helping me through this part. She reminded me that Travis would not want me to hide away and be sad all the time, and that there was someone out there who loves me, makes me happy, and I should go for it. This is true for many different types of relationships. For listeners out there who watched Friends, I am very much a Monica. For those who didn't watch it, I'm just saying I'm generally very organized. Almost all of the containers in my attic are color-coded and properly labeled. A few years after Travis died, I was getting out my holiday decorations while my new husband set up the Christmas tree. I came across a box that wasn't labeled. I thought, what? So I opened it, and I found all the ornaments and keepsakes from Christmases with Travis. It caught me really off guard. I broke down and wept. It was soul-crushing. But I had a choice. I could either continue to lay on the floor crying, or pick myself up and realize that new memories would never take away the old ones. I also didn't want to miss out on what was currently happening. We all know that life is short, and we should really try to enjoy it as much as we can, right? So, I got up, properly labeled that box, and decided to be grateful for what I still had. I might have also put a warning label on that box that read, "Contents may cause tears." Now here's a part if you're helping someone else through grief. Please remember to give them space if they need it. Don't feel like it's your job to try to cheer them up. Part of being a good friend is being there to really hear them and see them. Let them be who they need to be in that moment. Sometimes they don't need our protection from grief, but you can be there with a box of Kleenex. Again, just let them be in the moment, whether that's happy or sad. I know there's sometimes an inclination to keep them distracted during the holidays, but no matter what you do, it's not going to make them forget that they lost a person, that they lost someone. So maybe let them talk about that person or share stories with you. Let them lead. As a person who's experienced grief, I can say it's also very important that our friends and family remember us when the holidays are over. I'm going to repeat that part. It's also very important that our friends and family remember us when the holidays are over. Our loved one is still gone, but our grief is still there. I asked some of our previous guests what they found helpful during the holidays when coping with grief.
If they're phone call people, give them a call. If they're text people, send them a text. Tell them they've been on your mind and ask them how they're doing. Make sure to do this when you know you have a little time. That way, if they need to talk right then, they can. Then, just listen. You don't need to have all the answers or to know how to make them feel better. Being present and listening is enough.
how I get through the holiday season is by focusing on my close friends and family. I know when I lost my father and the holidays rolled around, I missed him terribly, and I didn't know how the holidays would be, but I tried very hard to focus on my family and making new memories with them, because I knew my dad would want me to be happy and have all these new memories with my family and be joyous. And somehow in the end, making those memories with them in the event that their tomorrow wasn't guaranteed, I had those memories and the laughter and the joy in case my tomorrow wasn't guaranteed. We all had something from each other, and in doing that, we were still celebrating him, and he was there with us in spirit.
What needs to happen during the holidays after a loved one passes is keeping yourself busy. This year, we are getting our mom out the house, and we're going to do some axe throwing and some top golf with her grandchildren. So that always brings a smile to her face. And while it isn't a permanent solution, it definitely helps. Another thing is, nobody said you had to be at home where you spent the most time with the person that passed and be there at the holidays. Go wherever you want. Do whatever. Even if it takes your children, friends, other family to get you out of the house.
If you're grieving, no matter how you decide to celebrate or not celebrate, it's totally up to you. It's okay to say no when responding to invites. You do not owe anyone an explanation. Remember, no is a complete sentence. If someone you know is grieving, be ready to accept that no. It's also okay to say yes to something and then change your mind. I've had a time or two when I tried to attend something. I got there and it was just way too much. So I left. I was proud of myself for trying. Maybe next time would be better. The thing to remember is that you get to choose what's right for you. I think it's just one small way to keep some control when everything else seems to be out of our control. But don't forget, it's okay to ask for help. Thanks for listening, and I'm wishing all of you peaceful holidays. Our next episode will air Thursday, December 7th. Please join us as our guest shares her story of a life-changing accident and a hopeful future. Grief and Frozen Lasagnas is a Patronica production. It's written and hosted by Veronica Day, music and sound design by Patrick Gary and the musical talents of the Sideshow Symphony. To hear this and other music by the Sideshow Symphony, go to www.sideshowsymphony.com or find them on Apple Music or the streaming service of your choice. If you liked what you heard or know anyone who might like this, please help us spread the news by sharing it. If you're listening through Apple Podcasts, please rate and review to let other people know about us. It really does help. If you'd like to be part of the show, see photos, or you'd like to find and listen to our other episodes, please visit us at griefandfrozenlasagnas.com. Thanks for listening today and hopefully in the future. Take care of yourself and be kind.